We're going to learn today Mr. Glatter's mother. Her name is Chavanecha Bas Beryl. May her neshama have an aliyah. Okay, we're up to Perek Yubeis Pasik Ches. A person is praised in this world according to his intellect, according to his seichel. What a person accomplishes with the seichel is what grants a person praise. Is novinod. Novinod means a wanderer. A wanderer, so in this context, it means a person whose heart is not stable. He vacillates. One day like this, one day like this, he's very easily pulled, distracted. After everything that happens in the world. So Navei Lev Yehi Lavuz, so that's how we describe a person who lacks Seichel. It's a very interesting idea that this pasuk is telling us, what is Seichel? You would think Seichel means you're born with natural brilliance. There are people we all know that are extremely talented, extremely gifted, brilliant minds. But that's not what it says here. It's worth praise. It's a very surprising passage. The praise that a person deserves is, I take that back. It's sichlai, lefis sichlai. And the pasuk appears, according to one approach, one dimension, to tell us what is seichel. Seichel is the opposite of navei leif, because after all, we are contrasting the first half of the pasuk with the second half of the pasuk. And the second half of the pasuk is very clear: a person who is distracted, his heart turns aside, cannot concentrate. Seichel appears to mean a person that's able to discipline himself to stay focused. When you stay focused on a mission, even if you're not blessed with the most brilliant mind, you can accomplish incredible great things. We all know that from people that we are familiar with. Not every person that was in our elementary school that had the greatest minds turned out to be the most successful person. And yet there were people that were not so intelligent, but they were very well focused, and they stayed the course. And they accomplish very great things. That's seemingly what the pasuk of here is coming to hint to us in this context by comparing the Navei Leif. Let's see the Mitzvot pasuk. Yeah.
Sometimes you have people that are what we call book smart.
Yeah.
Practical smart.
But not street smart. But not, okay, that's a different thing. That's a different mahalo. But I think here this is something I know. I always think about this one person in my elementary school class. He was super super brilliant. Super brilliant. I mean, he just unbelievable. But even in elementary school, he has no stamina. Like, he's super brilliant, and he has these spurts of brilliance, but he can't sit the whole class. He can't sit for 40 minutes in one shot. No, you know, he wasn't wild.
His mind is wild,
right? His mind is wild. His mind goes from one thing to another thing. You know, and he's very successful. He works at computers. He's able to, I remember once you showed him what he does, he showed stacks of code. And he's able just to go through the code, 1, 2, 3, could figure out the whole thing and find any, and analyze. He's an analyst. His specialty is analyzing computer programs to improve them, to optimize them, and to make them better. I don't know if he actually does coding anymore, but he's a very, that's his koyach, is to analyze a program and to make recommendations and to improve upon it. But I always noticed by him, I used to learn with him in Chavrusa. He's super brilliant, but if you don't have that focus, that ability to remain on the course, you lose out in the long run. And that seemingly is what this pasuk here is alluding to. Let's see the Mesudas of a pasuk Ches. Lefi
sichlai. No, that's what the pasuk is about.
But I want to make that point, because at the end of the pasuk clearly says, Navei Leif. Navei Leif means a person whose heart wanders. And we're discussing here in reference to seichel, to intellect. So what does it mean, Navei Leif? So I may be wrong. What? No, Leif seems to mean the heart of knowledge, and the person's turning to the side. He can't stay focused, and we contrast that with sichlo, lefi sichlo. That's not what you would assume seichel is. Someone who has natural brilliance,
acquired
brilliance,
acquired knowledge.
I see it as a contrast between
someone who is consistent in their principles and someone who is inconsistent.
Okay, the same message. That's really what I'm trying to say. Now, okay, focus. Stay focused. Nave means to wander. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs. Pasuk has the mitzvahs. Silfi sichlai kolish yeshuvach lefi shiur sichlai im rav yimat. Okay, whatever your IQ is, that's what that the grade on your IQ simply is how much praise the person will receive. Avol misha liboy nata mechachma. A person who turns away from chachma yihiel libi. It's just giving a very rough translation. A person whose heart turns away from chachma yihiel libi zayon. If he turns away, he will be despised. Rashi says lufi sichlo yihul al ish im chacham naat oy harbe hakol lufi sichlo yitol sichar. A person will receive his reward according to his intelligence. Then ave lev shehimia.
Wait, what are you
reading from?
I'm saying Russian, right?
Im chacham me'at o harbe. If a man is wise, a little bit or a lot, hakol lefi sichlo, depending upon his intelligence, his seichel is, I guess, another word for intelligence. Okay, I don't really know the depth of what Rashi means. Obviously, there are very deep things here in Rashi, I'm not exactly sure. But hakol lefi sichlo yitol schar. The basic gist of the pasuk is that a person's reward and success and reputation and benefit that he is to gain, respect that he has from others, the honor that he will receive in this world, will all depend upon his intelligence.
How can you say that respect is based on one's innate intelligence? It just
what you've accomplished with your intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay, that I think itself is assumed. That we assume that to be the pshat. You use your intelligence to accomplish something, and then people look back and they say, "Well, how did he accomplish this? It must be super brilliant. How is he able to come up with? How is he able to invent such a product? It must be super brilliant." So they praise him. What do they praise him for? For his brilliance. His brilliance is what allowed him to achieve this accomplishment. And if a person does a terrible thing, a person commits a crime, and he winds up in jail, so they say, this is because the person was a fool. If he was smart, he wouldn't got caught. Right? Isn't that the way it is? Didn't I say it the way it is? But that's really what it says. Okay, according to a person's foolishness, let's see what it says over here in the Rashi. V'nave leif l'shehenia liboy l'gamri min ha-toy. Rashi says that he completely turned away from the Torah. Hu yihye lovus, he will be a source of shame. What does this word mean? Na'ave, Rashi says, kamo na'usi. You refuse to listen. I'm not sure I'm saying the vowels correctly, but you turn away from listening to me. Yeshaya is saying that the Jewish people are turning away from listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the Haftar from last week, right? Was it last week? Was it last week's Haftar? Mochoydesh. Yoinasan says to David, Shaul says to Yoinasan, why are you favoring David over you? It's because you take after your mother, right? Your mother was a Nava Samardus. So therefore, Nava Misha Liboy, I'm not sure how to pronounce that word. Na'ua Nigizras No Vinot, the person whose heart turns away. It comes from the Sharish of No. No Vinod Yihya Baritz. You will be a wanderer in the land. Kasha Yomar Zava Nigizras Zazav means terror. Just from the Sharish of the word za. So the word Nanua, there are four letters in this world, but two of the letters are the Shoresh, just like the four letters of Zayin, Ayin, Vav, Hey, R is the word, and really the Shoresh of that word is, the first two letters is Za, which means terror, fear. So that's what it means over here. So we have over here that a person's heart turns away, so let's just review very quickly, read the Medrash, I got that Medrash. The Medrash says, we did it yesterday, let's read it to you inside. Who is the subject of this person? B'miyakas medaber Zelkona. We're discussing Elkanah. Elkanah was the husband of Chana and Penina. Chana had no children, And Penina, I think, had how many? 10 children, does it say?
Yes.
She had 10 children. 10 children, the Haftarah, this is the most popular, famous, I always say this, this is the most famous section of Tanakh. The first perek of Shmuel is by far, the most well-known perek in the entire Nach. People who don't know even one word Nach, never know a Nach in their life, know the first perek of Sefer Shmuel.
Well, how do we read on Rosh Hashanah?
Exactly. Because everyone comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah. And everyone wants to come, even if you come late, you come for Tkiyas. You gotta come for Tkiyas. One of the Tkiyas, right after the Haftarah. We had to lay in the Haftarah, the rabbi gives a drasha, and then you blow the kiss. So everyone is in shul for the Haftarah. Everyone's listening very carefully. So this is the parak that everyone knows by heart. So Chana, we're dealing over here with Chana Elkanah, Shneshtabach v'nesal al-sichle. He was wise, and why was he wise? Lama Neshtabach, why was he wise? Because he survived two wives that hated each other. Shohayla Shtei Nashim, Sona Zoezo. Elkanah had two wives, Chana and Penina, and they were at each other's throats. V'yacholamad, and he was able to survive. Marshal the Chavir, the Gemara. Now the Medrash, I didn't tell you this part yesterday. This is a Marshal. Now the Marshal, it's very interesting of what exactly. Okay, the Marshal is follows. We have over here the Chavir. Chavir is a charmer, a person who knows how to speak to snakes. It tells the snake when to bite and tells the snake when not to bite. So there was an expert Chavir. He was the master. He had Talmidim. He taught everyone in the world the secret of speaking to snakes. Mashal chaver shetzad nachash u'neshachay, and then the day came when the snake betrayed the master, and the snake bit the master, and the master died. U'neshachay v'haraga v'amad talmidai. The Talmud, the students, they went on to be greater. They were able to go in and speak to two snakes at the same time. So look at this. The Rebbe, he only was able to train one snake at a time, only hold in his hand one snake and speak to it. And yet, the Rebbe was killed by the snake. The Talmidim were able to hold in their hands two snakes at a time and speak to each one, and they survived. So the Talmud was greater than the Rebbe. The Talmud had two snakes, and was greater. Moshe l'chavir shotzad nachash l'shach v'amei v'haragoy v'amah talmidai v'tzad shnayim v'lo nizak. So who here is the Rebbe? The Rebbe is Adam Harishain. Who is the Talmud? Elkanah. Elkanah is an enikel of Adam Harishain. Adam had how many wives? Had one wife. And what did the one wife do to Adam?
She...
What did the one wife do to one wife? She killed him. She killed him. She gave him teeth from the eight sadas. Elkanah, the Talmud, how many wives? Two wives. And what did they do to Elkanah? Nothing. They didn't do anything to him. He survived. He survived. We praise the Talmidim. Cain, Adam Harishain lo yachol amoy biisha achas, could not say even one wife. Ella vatitin gam liisha ima vayochal, she gave her husband and he ate. V'yalkan hoi l'shtayim v'yachol amoyim v'lo yishtei nashim. And that's why the subject here is of this pasuk, the first part of the pasuk is Adam. Adam is praised because of his, Elkan is praised for seichel, able to maneuver between the two wives, and Adam is the foolish person, the Nave Lev, who listened to his wife, and he ate from the Eitz Hadas. He is Levus, he died and he suffered. Pasuk Tes. Toiv nikle ve'eved lo, mi miskabed v'chasar lochem. Better to be, have a parnasa, to be a street cleaner. Okay, whatever parnasa one would consider to be the lowest status in society, better have a parnasa, even if it's a parnasa that's a undignified livelihood. But at least you have the dignity that no one is supporting, honest living, no one is supporting you. Better than be a person who sits, it's beneath his dignity to work and doesn't have what to eat. Toiv niklid, better to be niklid, to be despised, to be nenem yigias kapay. You see that a lot of matzevis, they write this. I once studied matzevis, fascinating limud. You can go give shiurim. You can go give a course in college on matzevos. to study the Matzevos of all the Grillis. It's amazing.
You get your Torah if you study the Matzevos.
If you read it, only if you articulate the path,
if it's boilate,
it's an amazing study. They should give a course like this in NYU. Would be a great place. Someone should give a course, the study of Matzevos, to study the Nuschos of the great ones. Go back all the generations and look at how the Nuschos today, there's amazing chokhma and what's written on Matzevos. And it's very interesting when I spend time on this, this Nusach comes out, Nene Migiyas Kapo. And this is a davar choshev ad ma'od. To live a life, no one has to support you. You don't have to take handouts. Even people that have been mechubadim, many of them don't even know that they're supported by their family members, siblings, or the organizations. They give them more than they really work for. It's not a good thing to come to the next world and I was supported. Someone had to help me. Person has the ability to work, even if it's a parnasa that in society is not considered to be choshev. This is what he does for parnasa. You'd be embarrassed to tell someone this is what you do. But listen, you make an honest living. There's nothing greater than that. On Yom Kippurim, the very last thing we are mispalel on Yom, as you hear it all the time, is the last thing we are mispalel on Yom Kippurim by Neila before you close on Kodesh. Is Laman Nechtal Me Oshek Yodeinu. We mispal to Hashem that we should be saved from Gezel, that we should not be nichshol in taking something from someone that is not ours. And the nisayin for Gezel only is when you don't have your own parnasa. When you have your own parnasa, it greatly diminishes the problem of Oshek Yodeinu. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. To have Mikla Ever Lo Be Mischabe, better be an ish.
What? Dangerous ground there for certain communities.
Better than being an ish mechubad, tachasar lechem, and an ish mechubad is lacking bread, and he has to come on to tzedakah. Let's take a look at the pasuk test in the mitzvah toiv. Yoyser toiv lemish and noyek chalus ba'atzmo. He conducts himself in a lowly way. He does things that other people would not dare do. He cleans toilets. He cleans toilets in the subway. Okay, that's not exactly a very pleasant thing to do. And he's a slave to himself. To make an honest living. Mimi, this person is better. The person upon who the matzeva says, v'nene miyigiyas kapa, and a little kleiner matzeva, a person that wasn't known to be a Talmud Chacham, but was nene miyigiyas kapa, can be better than the big fancy matzevas, big oil and all the big things. A person that didn't work a day in his life, and other people had to support him. It's not so simple. Now, not chashmim kitchuk, but there's something to it. Mimi shemachzik atzma lemuchu. But he's a distinguished person. And it's beneath him to work. And due to this, he lacks parnasa. And when he lacks parnasa, you need to come onto the community for support. Rashi pasuk test type nikla be'enov. Better to be nikla. So Rashi is one very important word here. Be'enov, in your own eyes. Mitzudas really says the same thing, but he Rashi really emphasizes, a person should look at himself like a nothing. Who am I? I'm a piece of garbage. Therefore, it's kedai for me to take a job that's beneath that in society it's not considered to be dignified. Nikla be'enav. Vinase eved liatzmo, becomes a slave to himself to make parnasa. Mi mischabed, better than a person mechubed be'enav, better than saying about I'm an ish mechubed, I'm a talmud chacham, I'm a great person, I'm a meyuchas, I have come from such a choshev mishpacha. It would be a bezoyin for me to take such a parnasa. Be'enav v'omer ginai hu li la'amol b'malacha shani mibnei adam gidolim. I come from honor. I come from a choshev yichas. V'sof aliyah, such an attitude is a disaster. Chasar lechem. Now the Gemara, next pasuk yud yodea tzadik nefesh behemtoi rachame reshaim achzari. Okay, the Gemara of this pasuk is pita. P E T. How do you spell it? P E T.
P T A.
P T A. Pita. the acronym for the organization that, that advocates animal rights.
Animals.
A, the less is A, animals. Okay, so the, this is, so there is a tzaddik, a true tzaddik knows what the true meaning of tzar bali chayim. V'rachame rishayim, the mercy of the wicked achzori. They make believe that they have rachmanis on animals, but the truth is their rachmanis is misplaced, and their rachmanis is nothing more than an act of cruelty. Okay, let's see the mitzvah one thing at a time. This is a very deep pasuk. Yodei tzaddik, hatzaddik nesin lev ludas afrit sen behemto. The tzaddik, he knows even. It goes without saying that the tzaddik has rachmanis on human beings. But in addition to having rachmanis on human beings, he also is sensitive to the needs of his animals. Afrit sen behemto, lemalas tavosa to fill its desire. Ki koni etz lemidas rachmanis. It is acquired by him to be the rachmanis avul harishayim, but the wicked, after rachmanis sheyesh b'chem, he achzorius the rishayim. Even by wicked, by the rishayim, even the rachmanis that they have is nothing more than cruelty. Ki lemare ha'ayin yirachamu, it's all for show. It's all for show to have rachmanis on the animals. For loy kein b'libam, really in their heart, the same way they have no rachmanis on human beings, and they have no set of morals, no set of values. The truth is, the rachmanis they have on animals is not for real. It's just nothing more than a show. For loy kein b'libam, Rashi says here, they had tzadik nevesh behemtoi. Notice that Rashi adds in ubnei beiso. Why did Rashi need to do that? I do not know. Rashi wants to point out that it's not just the animals, it's also the bnei beiso, what their needs are. Now there are a number of midrashim. Then first, let's start with the first midrash is the Dor HaMabul. Okay, the Dor HaMabul. This is well known that when the Mabul began, Hashem opened up the Tehoim Rabbah. So what did the Dor HaMabul do? They wanted to stuff up the opening. There was a leak. There was a leak in the earth. The earth, the water broke forth. So they started throwing down cement. Remember a couple of years ago, BP, Gulf of Mexico, right? They couldn't. They tried to, they couldn't until they finally got it down. It's a miracle. They were able to close this. Don't take it for granted. But that's what happened. That's what happened during the Dor HaMabul. Dor HaMabul, the Tehoim Rabbah opened up, the world began to flood, and they sent down underground. They sent down the cement, who knows what they tried to use to close up the hole. And nothing worked. And they got so desperate, so they took people. They took children. They took people and they put people in the hole. Maybe by taking people, that will stuff up the hole. That's what Chazal said. Let me read you what it says over here. It says, "Yerachamei Rasham Achzori Elu Dor Hamabul Show You Achzorim Amru Rabosenu Zichrin Lurach B'Shosh Shehelah Hakadosh Baruch Hu Alu Haleim." What happened when Hakadosh Baruch Hu opened up the Tehoim? Hayulham Bonim Harbe. The people of that generation, many children. V'Hayu Bohem Bnei Adam Show You Noilim Es Bneihem. They took their own children. V'Noisnim Oisam Al Pesach HaTehoim. People wanted to survive the flood. So they took their own children and they put them on the opening of the Tehoim. Kidei shelo yalu hamayim. The koiv shin aleihem, they stepped on their children. They pressed them. Doichakim oisam sham. Ve'ena merachamin aleihem l'kach nemar. That's what the pasuk says. Ve'rachamei rishoim achzori. This is Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach. The people had rachmanis on the animals, but they did not have rachmanis on their own children. I once told you a very fascinating story. This document story a number of years ago. There was a situation where there was a bear. A bear attacked a little cottage and killed a woman, a single mother. There was a single mother. She had a baby. And a bear came into the village, and she broke into the house, and she killed the mother of the baby. So the community put up an ad that we have to collect money for the yosema, the yosem. There was a single mother, and she had a child. And then there was some animal, and in the process, when the police came, and when they called the emergency services, they came and they shot the bear, and they killed the bear. But the bear left over some cubs. Outdoor. So the community set up two funds. They set up a fund to raise money for a college fund for the child. Then there were animal activists, the animal people, the pita people. They said, "Rachmanis on the cubs. Who are going to take care of the cubs? The mother provided care for the cubs. So let's set up a fund to raise money for the cubs, so we can send it off to a zoo, or do something with the cubs." A year later, or whatever period of time later, there was a lot more money in the fund for the cubs than for the child. So he spoke about this case.
Spoke about it because he said that's what triggered Cain killing Hevel. That was on a voracious tape. And he said the people have the pita people. They have misplaced feelings. So he saw when Hevel brought a carbon, so you can kill an animal.
You kill an animal. Same thing.
As people. Killing is killing. He didn't see the difference between, that was what the thought process was. They see a difference between an animal or a human being. That's all.
Go to the Pidua and Harnof.
Look what goes on all the time. My neighborhood, there's a very big problem. People do not clean up after their dogs. They do not clean up after their dogs. Now they cut down because they put up cameras. So we caught them. We caught them, and the imam is shamed into their guilt. But look at this. They care for the dog. It's unbelievable how they, every day they walk their dog, they care for their dog, they feed their dog. And when it comes to the people who live on the block, the people, the children, the adults who have to go and come in contact with all of the schmutz, that they don't care. For the people, for the human beings, rachamei reshoi machzari. Too bad, so you have to come in contact with the waste of my dog. Too bad that your children have to step in it. Every time you walk out, you step in it and this, that, all over the place. As long as we have companionship, we have our dog, and we love our dog, we kiss our dog, we feed our dog, it's misplaced rachmanis. It's mamish exactly what it says here. Tzu tzadik knows the nefesh pamto. There are a lot of different stories about Gedolim, but they say about Eliyahu Lapian. I don't know, there's a whole story about this. He used to feed the cats. The cat once did him a toiva when he was young. Something that saved his life. There's some story where a cat saved his life, and as Akaras Atov to the cats, he fed the cats every day. He brought out milk to the cats, and all right, let's go further.
It's something called eco-terrorists.
What?
Eco-terrorists.
Eco, what does that mean?
Eco, like ecology.
Yeah.
And they tried to preserve the ecology, but they terrorized the people.
Terrorized the people. Uh-huh. Very good. All right. Now, the other midrashim point out, they contrast this to the Torah and to Haman Harasha. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, "Oiso v'yespino lo sishchatu biyom echad." You're not allowed to slaughter the mother and the child on the same day. Why not? So one of the reasons the Medrash says it's because rachmanis. It's not good that the mother should see. It's an act of cruelty to an animal. For the mother to see its child slaughtered before it and then recognize that it's also being slaughtered. Animals have sensitivities. They realize what's going on. They're both leading to the slaughter and they both sense that in the mind of an animal. We don't understand how the mind of the animal works, but Chazal tell us it's a very great act of cruelty to an animal to slaughter the mother and the child on that very day. Another halacha, now that I go take the mother, shluch hakein, that shalach k'shalach esoyim v'yesabarim t'kachloch, you're now allowed to take the children in the presence of the mother. It's a very great tzar for a mother to see her children taken away before her eyes. So first send away the mother and then take the eggs, take the chicks for yourself. Don't let the mother be subject to this terrible punishment. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis. In the Torah we find that here, Befeirush, the Torah has rachmanis on the mother and the child. Haman, Harasha, had no rachmanis on people. Lahashmin lahar glam is kol hayahudim minahar viadzakein taf v'nashim biyom echad, on one day. He was willing to kill parent, father and son, mother and child on one day. So that's what the pasuk of Yehuda, Yodea tzadiku is the tzadik according to the Medrash, the tzadikoi shel oilam, the ribayinoi shel oilam, the ribayinoi shel oilam, he has Yodea, he knows the nefesh behemto. He knows that it will be a very great tzar to a mother to witness her child be taken away in front of her eyes, and therefore Hashem Rachman is send away the mother. Hashem knows that it will be a tzar for the mother and the child to be killed, to be slain. Baba Yom, don't do Baba Yom. But the Achzare, Haman Harasha, V'rachamei rishahim, even their rachmanis is achzari hamna rasha, he had no rach, even the make-believe rachmanis that he may have shown to society was all nothing. He was willing to kill also the Espinel. Yeah.
How does one explain the mice of Shaul? Shaul did not kill, right? He had rachmanis.
That was misplaced. That was misplaced. Rachmanis, because Amalek is an exception to the rule. Amalek, wicked, evil has to be obliterated. Timcha is zecher Amalek, even a remembrance. No one should walk around and say this axe came from Amalek. Just the remembrance of Amalek is a sakana. We appreciate this in our day and age more than ever. Look what happened with I forgot the name. Eloba. What's it called? Ebola. Yeah. We appreciate, it's in the news, front and center, Ebola, the sensitivity, the smallest teeny particle, what a great sakana. We saw the debate to let people who have been exposed, are they allowed to roam the streets free? Do they need to be sequestered? So we appreciate it. We see the great sakana. Chazal tell us in the spiritual world, Amalek is the same. Anything that has a tag Amalek is a sakana for Klal Yisrael. The essence of Amalek is v'lo yorei Elokim. That midah is sakonis nefashos for Klal Yisrael. And there are times when you're not allowed to show rachamim. That's what the Torah says. Okay, let's go further. Another example of this, just a quick example, is coming up next week in 2 weeks, where Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, Lechno re'ei es shaloim achecha v'es shaloim hatzoin. No one greater than Yaakov Avinu expressed his concern for the peace of the tzon. So you see that Yodea Tzadik, who is the Tzadik? Yaakov. Who is he concerned with? The Nefesh Behemtoi. Then the souls of his animals, that they should be cured for. And he sent Yosef on the mission, which led to Yerida, the Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go to the next.
It's not that Shlomo HaMelech says it himself, that in Mishlei, that it's not that they have misplaced feelings for a cruel person, but when you're kind to a cruel person, you're being cruel to a kind person, because that person maybe will kill somebody
ultimately
else
in the future.
And so you don't understand where Rachamim is.
Right.
I know the future. He's going to kill again, so you're better off killing him now.
Ben Sarimara, yeah. Yeah, you have to.
In Hanami.
It's in Mishlei. So I don't know if that defense is going to hold up.
No, but that's you have infinite wisdom of God.
Okay, let's go further. Let's do a couple of psukim. A person who works his land will be satisfied with bread. Umiradef reikim, a person who pursues the company of empty people. Chasar leiv, walks away with nothing. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Yud Aleph. Oyvid Admasa B'Chalisha V'Chiyotze. Person works hard. Person works. He works the land. He will be satisfied with Parnasa. On the other hand, Umiradef Reikim Haroidef Achar Dvarim Shein Bohem To'elas. A person who pursues nonsense. Hu Chasar Leif. He is so. According to the Mitzudos, he is. It's a adjective. He is a chasar leiv, because the end will be that he will not have what to eat. Chasar leiv ki toiv lasik oz ba'avoda ha'adam abav zadama. He would be better off. He would have been better off working the land. Rashi, Oyved Admaso Yisbalachem Kimashmo, Ulfi Mishola Shechoizer Al Talmudoi, Tomid Shalo Yishtakach. According to Rashi, we have a Medrash. He quotes the Medrash that Oyved Admaso means a person who reviews his learning. He reviews what he has. Admaso means it's my property. Whereas the Meradif Reikim means he's always looking for other greener pastures. He's looking elsewhere. He's looking to go and accomplish, to go conquer new territory. Problem is, if you don't have a hold on your own territory, on what you have already taken in, you're going to end up with nothing. This is a foolish person. So it's a very interesting pasuk, reference to the difference between a person that is reviews what he learns, relative to a person that does not review what he learns, because he's pursuing new chachma. Pasuk Yud Gebeis, Chamad Rasha, Mitzod. Ra'im, the desire, chomud, the desire of a rasha is the fortress, the mitzod ra'im, the fortress of the evil people. In other words, a rasha has nothing. The rasha feels that he lacks security. Where can he find satisfaction, happiness, security? He has to go somewhere. He has to travel into the fortress of evildoers, of other wicked people. That's where he feels he'll find security. Whereas a tzaddik, does not need to come on to other people for security. The little that he has, his roots is yitain, is what gives him yitain. It's they were missing words in the pasuk. We have to add words in. Yitain is what gives him a sense of security. Let's see them in this pasuk. Yivayis chamad harasha. He wants to sit in this fortress of the evil people. What do they do there? In the place where he goes, they rob other people. He feels his security will come from being part of an organization that steals from other people. They don't need to go and find support from the outside world. Their own roots, the little that they have, yitain here, the Mitzudos adds in words into the pasuk. These are silent words to make sense out of the pasuk. Piryam horoi, yitain, the root that they have planted in this world itself will provide, will yield that they need to survive. Ratzolaymar me'atzmam, from their own success, yischasku lehetiv lasos, they will be strong to succeed and do what they need to survive in this world. Rashi pasuk gebeis chamad rishayim lios nizun misparnes mitzud rishayim. It is the desire of the rasha to be supported, to be fed and supported from the fortress mimotzod risha, from what has been trapped and what is found among the wicked. Shetzadin es habrios begzelos v'chamas. They earn their livelihood by stealing and cheating from other people. And Arasha feels he will only survive in this world if he follows in this derech. But the Shoresh Sadiqim Yitain.
There's a different shot of Mitzod. He says it's from
trapping, not from a fortress. Saying Mitzod here, according to Rashi, means to trap, what they trap, what the wicked trap. Whereas Rashi says, Mitzud says it's a Miftzar, in a Hanami. So due to the realize that. Two different translations of the word Mitzud. Is it a fortress or is it what they trap? But it's really the same idea. It's the same idea in the fortress. What's in the fortress? The security of the Rishayim is from the Mitzud. It does say comes from theft, comes from Gezel and Chamas.
The actual word for fortress is Mitzud.
With a dalit, okay, in a chanami. So sometimes we need to change the dalit and the resh. But Rashi is saying it means from to trap, it means to tzeda, which is more precise. Mitzod reshoyim shetzodim es abrius begezel v'chamas shorish tzadik nitain mas shahu roy litain v'hu apri. That the shorish of the tzadik will give forth what it's fit to give forth. What does it give forth? Rashi also adds in the silent word, the fruit. He'll be sustained by his own food. This is also a business ethics. There are many businesses that are legal, 100% legal, and people make a killing. They make a killing from these type of businesses. Yet, it's not ethical. I mean, the different madrigos of ethics. It's not ethical to be involved in such a business. I know, the work that I do, I mean, it borders on this. I receive the emails, and I used to be a paying member of a forum of a certain technique, a certain mahalach in marketing, internet marketing. And the person who runs this forum, it's clear as day that he's making millions. He's making millions, and he's charging a lot of money to people to teach them his techniques. So I subscribed. I'm at the lowest entry level to learn the techniques, and I even tried it. I tried it I tried some of his techniques. This is a while ago. I wasn't successful. I definitely invested money, and it was not successful. But I still get the emails. I no longer remember. But the high end techniques where he makes his millions are definitely not ethical. There's no question in my mind. I never went that far. I couldn't get past. Couldn't get past. There are ways. This mahalach. There are very ethical ways to do it. And people, you can make. It's very. You have to know what you're doing. It takes a lot of skill, a lot of work to succeed. You can make a lot of money, but he's making money doing things which I feel are really highly unethical. Truth is, I don't really know. I always want to consult with people. My father, unfortunately, is not here. I wanted, you know, to discuss this with him. It take a lot of time to explain to him. My father used to ask me, right before he got sick, he used to ask that I should tell him. My father was very big into business ethics. So he wanted to get into like the internet ethics, the e-commerce ethics. And he wanted me to explain to him all the, you know, the techniques, the ethical dilemmas. Unfortunately, I never really got a chance. You know, it takes a lot of time to really show a person to get you really deeply involved, to get a flavor of what's going on. But this is a very interesting thing with a lot of things that are legal and but they're just not ethical.
Deceptive not advertising?
What?
Deceptive advertising or just
No, it's spying. It's you're spying on other people to learn what they're doing. And what they're doing, the only way they got to where they got is because they spent a lot of money. And you're basically discovering their secrets and you're copying them. Even worse, you're actually what?
Like the idea of patent protection. You invest a lot of money
to build the right. Okay, it borders on that. Okay, but yet on the other hand, you can argue that some of these things are. Listen, it's public knowledge. So someone's have a store, a brick and mortar store. You set up a store, and someone has a sale, and you see all the customers are going into the store, so you can do the same thing that they're doing. Where do you draw the line? It's a very, very difficult balance where you draw the line, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what is ethical, not ethical. But this pasuk here makes a point. I think, Rav Meir, you told me that people that are involved, the people that made billions of dollars in the nursing home industry, right? And then there were the gedolim, you mentioned this too, there were gedolim that were very felt that you should not enter into a business, into a parnasa, where you're making money off people. If you have another people who are sick and chaylim right. To make a living off their matzev is not something which is ethical. Is I don't know. You could argue. People argue back and forth.
Those services are needed.
What?
Those services are needed.
Those services that are needed. So what's wrong? Exactly. What's wrong? That's what I would say, right? That's what I would say. Obviously, so you have to every city. You have to know every detail. Yeah, of course. There are things that are. You have to know the situation. I remember this year I had an unpleasant. I'll tell you a personal experience. I bought an esrog. So I had an esrog. I was in a place Erev Yom Tov, and someone was selling an esrog for $30. The most gorgeous esrog I ever saw. So I bought it for $30. So I showed it to someone, a mumche. So he says, where'd you get this? He even says, I know where you got this. You got this on this street here and here, and I know the urge. He says, he paid himself for this esrog $60. He said, this is a $200 esrog. He tells you right away, this is a $200 esrog. And the person who sold it to you paid himself $60 for it. And it was Erev Yom Tov, and he wants to cut his losses. So he sold it for $30. Then he says to me, this is what he says to me, and this is a person who doesn't have a penny to his name. He doesn't have a penny to his name. He's not a wealthy person. He says to me, I would never do this. I don't believe that you mekayim a mitzvah. You mekayim a mitzvah. It should be through causing being nene from someone else's loss. You buy an esrog, so if you want this type of esrog, so you pay him. You pay him $200. So maybe you pay him. So this is I had an argument with him, a very big argument with him. So you pay him $100. You pay him $75. But to go and take advantage that it's now Erev Yom Tov. I know this is what he says to me, and he said it to me with a lot of
bargain down.
Exactly, I didn't bargain with him. He's giving it away. If it's not, if I'm not going to buy it. Someone else will buy it.
You knew that he's taking the loss.
If no, he's saying if I'm not going to buy it. Someone else going to buy it. And if no one buys it, the person is going to lose total loss. So I did him a favor. I gave him at least $30. So I got it instead of someone else getting it. So what did I do wrong? What's terrible? So he says to me, nothing wrong. It's just not the way you do a mitzvah. You don't do a mitzvah in a situation where someone else is going, is suffering a loss. He's just getting rid of it. That's not how you mekayim a mitzvah.
What if he bought the 10 and sells the 50?
We're not dealing with that. We're dealing here with this particular. This is the business. So I don't know. So he shook me up. I hear what he said. I don't. So on my block, there's a very big poster called Rabbi Guritz. Rabbi Guritz, he's a Dayan. He's a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. So that day I happened to meet him. Yes, I said to him, what do you think about this Shaila, this case? I bought this Asher, this person, he made me feel guilty. He he's a guy. He sits and he's involved in dinim on this day and night. So he laughed him off. He said to me, he basically said to me, there's nothing wrong. You did exactly what you said. This is business. He buys. He knows there's going to be losses. And this is what you do on the last day of Yandif. There's nothing wrong. And he told me there's no, he claimed, he says, there's no inyan lifting mishra sadin. There's nothing wrong. Get a bargain. There's nothing wrong. It's not a zilzal in the mekayma mitzvah. And he told me, in his opinion, there is absolutely nothing wrong with lechatchila using such an esrog for the mitzvah of. Using such an esrog for the mitzvah. All right, but obviously this other person is also the person, the Talmud Chacham, and the person is not like a wealthy person. He's in learning. He has a few little jobs here and there throughout the year. And you know, so it's our gosha. What? I don't know. I'm worried. I'm up to today. I'm worried what I'm going to say in a few minutes. I'm not holding there yet.
I had a customer who literally, if I asked for too little money, he a couple of times he told me, yeah, that's too cheap and you're making a mistake. You deserve another $2 a case for this item. He says, and I won't pay you less. So, of course, he says, I know you're making a mistake. Be cautious.
Yeah, okay.
And he's still around.
I have a neighbor who put in new windows. He put in new windows, and there was one very expensive window. And the people who installed the window, they made a mistake. They made a mistake, and they ordered the wrong window. So it didn't fit the whole crazy story. And it was an expensive window, and the people who put in the money, they were very, very upset because the company where they ordered the windows from, the manufacturer, it's not their fault. So they were going to lose money on this whole big deal. So the person didn't want them to feel bad. So he said, I don't want you to suffer the loss entirely. He shared the loss with them. He didn't have to do that. That was a very, like mamish, lefnim, mishur sadin, you know, you're doing a job for me, so I'll pay you another few $100, whatever it was, so you shouldn't walk away from this job. I derived benefits at tzaddik. I derived enormous benefit from this project. So I thought I was getting a good deal. So, all right, so I'll pay a few more dollars, so you also should be happy. You shouldn't walk away with a bad taste. All right, it's an ethical. These are ethics. These are not things which you can. No, halacha, you're not mechuyev one bit. Zero, zilch. Halacha is very strict. Halacha is, it's not your fault. You have no responsibility. You can walk away. You can clean hands. But then there's something which this pasuk is addressing. That's really what the theme of this pasuk. The theme of this pasuk is Chomad Rasha Mitzod Roy V'Sherish Tzadikim Yitin. A Rasha is always looking to take advantage. The Rasha is Chomet. He has a desire to trap, to benefit from the trap of the Rishayim, from the evil people. Evil people, they're looking to take advantage, and now willing to call the Fnim Shur Sadin. And that's where he's looking to take advantage. There's a desire to pursue such activity.
The main point over here is that we're calling somebody who maybe thinks he's a tzaddik in Russia.
It's too far.
In other words, he thinks he didn't do anything unethical. He thinks he's a tzaddik, but in reality, he's calling him a Russia.
Ethics is a major.
That was one class every week. Was take the New York Times article and take it apart.
Ethics is a major issue in halacha. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Let's go to Pasuk. Yeah.
So we've seen it like when the Tylenol was called back.
Yeah.
So what the lot of people do. Tylenol handled very well, publicity-wise. They took it off the market completely. They handled it with the customers. They had a hotline, etc. There were other companies that supposedly, on the occasion, they tried to cover it up. They didn't want to be exposed.
Well, sometimes they do things for business practices.
For business reasons.
Business reasons. Okay, it's yeah, if you're good...
got a lot from that.
You get good publicity, and it's good for business. Good for business. But let's go further.
And there's one more thing with the esrog. You know that an esrog was in the wrong section of the esrogim.
Yeah.
And you know this was not a $40 esrog, it was really a $60 esrog.
That's gezel. That's gezel mamish. That's if you know for a fact that in dealing with Jews, now you can't even say tosach, you know, legoy. Okay, you get into trouble, Achil Hashem, you know, it's also, then you can work through Shulchan Aruch, when is Gezlakum, when is Tos, this Gezlakum is Osir. There's something called Tohosakum, but this man has said, we don't follow Tohosakum, it's a Achil Hashem Ad Me'oid, so everything basically is Osir, but by a Jew, it's Mamish, Isrim Deraisa. It's the wrong box.
A real Ezra, if you came into him the last day and you offered him a cheaper price, he would break the pit and not to give it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they throw it in the garbage. It's business practices for the following year. Most of they will not go down to a certain price. It's all calculated and everything goes in the garbage. That's to preserve the business for the following years. Let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Okay, there is one other thing I want to mention. Pasuk Yudbeis Chamad Rasha Mitzayd Ra'im also is interpreted in the Medrash in reference to Nimrod. Nimrod was the ultimate trapper. Who was a student of Nimrod? A student, not Esau. Esau killed Nimrod. He wasn't exactly a student, but how did Nimrod trap?" The big day chamudos. Why does the Medrash interpret this pasuk in reference to Nimrod? Because here it says the word chomat.
Right.
And last week's parsha we learned that Rivka dressed Yaakov in Esav's clothing. The big day chamudos. Why are they called chamudos? So it says here in this pasuk really opens up why it's chamudos, because it's mitzod ra'im. The garment is what assisted Nimrod in trapping, in Seda, in trapping his prey. Because this garment that was written, it was according to one apparent opinion in the Medrash, this was the garment that Hashem fashioned for Adam and Chava. Upon this garment was written, was the picture of every single animal, and it caused the animals to behave and not kill Adam Harishon. After Adam Harishon sinned and was banished from Gan Eden, Adam Harishon was afraid that the animals would eat him up. Can you imagine what the world was like? You have all these wild animals roaming the world. Adam Rishon was prey, was in a very great danger. And Adam was afraid he would be consumed by the dinosaurs. And therefore Adam Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made from the kosnos, or it wasn't just clothing to shelter his nakedness, it was a certain type of armor that protected him from the wild animals of the world. They can sense his smell in the middle of when he's sleeping, they can come and eat him up. So he wore these garments which were made by Kadosh Baruch Hu, which would repel all the animals from consuming Adam. Now this can mean derech hateva, there could have been something that was in the garments which would cause the smell or fragrance, some odor that would cause the animals to run away, or these can be Kabbalistic type of garments which they were written on it, shemos, or pictures and images, and when the animals saw these images, it caused them to distance themselves from Adam Harishon. Who inherited these garments? Esau. There's a long medrash exactly how these garments got. Shalshelus Hadaris, how they went all the way down from Cham, from Shem, the whole story how it got to Nimrod, from Nimrod went to Esau. So here, these two ideas are captured in this part because it said the word Chomad, and it says here the word Rasha. Rasha is Nimrod. Gibor Tzayid Lefnei Hashem. He rebelled against Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He knew Hakadosh Baruch Hu and rebelled against him. He was one of the first apikarsim in the world, Nimrod, and he was a mitzod. He was a person who was involved in trapping. So this pasuk is a perfect pasuk to fit into the life of Nimrod and Esav. I'll read you the Medrash. The Medrash says, "Vatikach Rivka is big day Esav bino hagodl hachamudos." So what does it mean, chamudos? Ma chamudos? What does it mean, chamudos? Shechomad min Nimrod. He desired them. Them from Nimrod, v'harago, and he killed Nimrod. Unetolon v'hadohu d'chsev, chomad rasha, Mitzod Ra'im. Chomad Esav HaRasha is big day Nimrod Hara. Esav coveted the garments of Nimrod, who is called here the Mitzod Ra'im. He is the evil trapper. He was the evil trapper, and Esav is the Rasha. He desired his clothing, and that's everything from there is history. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, "Bepesha sefasayim moikesh ra vayetze mitzar tzadik." A Rasha does himself and he stumbles. Mokesh means to stumble. Ra is the evildoer, the Rasha. He stumbles through the words of his mouth. He does himself and his own mouth brings upon him a stumbling. For example, the classic example is Haman. Haman said to Achashverosh, Achashverosh really said to Haman, what should we do to a person? And Haman said, the person who you want to honor, you should bring levush malchus and a horse and clothing, and one of you mechubadim should parade him in front of the street and say, "Kocha yasal ish hamel chafetz bikaro." And Achashverosh says, if that's the case, that's what I want you to do to Mordechai. So Haman's own words, his own sifasayim, the pesha sifasayim, the desire for kavod, that was his stumbling block for himself.
A snare for himself,
because that brought about the death of his daughter. His daughter saw him parading someone on a horse. She thought for sure the person that's leading the horse is Mordechai. She threw a pail of garbage on his head. When he looked up, he saw it was his daughter. She fell out of the window and she died. So it was his own mokesh, his own, the words of his mouth brought about his own falling. Let's take a look at the Mesudas Pasuk Yud Gimel. The pesha bavur pesha sifosayim, the sin of the lips, hamedaber sarah, who speaks falsehood or speaks things that are incorrect, yavoi alav moikeshra, comes upon him a snare, an evil snare, avla tzadik benoyam amarav, but the tzaddik, through the pleasantness of his words, yetze mehatzar haba, he comes forth, he survives the harm. Okay, who do we refer? Who do we? Now, this pasuk indeed is applied to this week's parsha. This week's parsha is Vayetze Yaakov mebe'er shava vayelech haran. The opening words of this week's parsha is Yaakov survived. Yaakov was Vayetze. Yaakov found himself in a place of danger. Esav was about to kill Yaakov. Yaakov was Vayetze. On the other hand, who did not survive? Yishmael and Esav. That's what it says here in this Medrash. Medrash in Bereish Rabbah, this week's parasha, Parsha Samach Zayin Yud Gimel. Bepesha Sefasai Mokeshra. They were destroyed. Yishmael did tshuva b'sof yamav. That's true, but he still died prematurely. Chazal say. How do we know he died prematurely? We learned from last week's parasha that Esav married the daughter of Yishmael, and who escorted her down the chuppah? Well, Yishmael should have done so, but Yishmael was not alive. Nevoyos, Yishmael's son, was the one who escorted her down the chuppah. Chazal here interpret that what happened to Yishmael. Al derech hateva, Yishmael should have lived to see his daughter get married. So Chazal tell us that he died prematurely. Why did he die prematurely? Because of his sins. You're asking a good question. We know that Yishmael did tshuva. Einachanami, he did tshuva. The tshuva did not save him from dying prematurely. Esav also did not have a very pleasant death. Esav's head was chopped off, decapitated by Dan, Chushim ben Dan. So Yishmael and Esav died an unpleasant death. They died prematurely. Seemingly, we know we have a tradition they would die the same. Esav would not have died that day. Okay, I don't know what that means, because we know that Lama Eshkal Shnechem Yomecha died the same day. It was a Nevuah, but was it really meant to be that Esav should die on that day? Or not, because Yaakov was really meant to live another 33 years. Yaakov's life was shortened 33 years because he complained, Ma'at Ver'im Hayu Yomai. So Yaakov was meant to live another 33 years. So seemingly Esav also should have left and should have lived another 33 years. But Esav died prematurely. Why? Because he argued he was Ma'arer on the right to allow Yaakov to be buried in the Ma'aris Machpelah, and Chushim and Dan decapitated him. So we have over here two individuals whose lives were cut short because of their sins. But Yaakov, when his life was in danger, he survived. Yaakov was in danger. He would have been killed by Esav for stealing the brachas. Vayetze Yaakov mibeer shava vayelech harana. So that's what the Medrash says on this week's parasha to fulfill what it says. Vayetze mitzara tzaddik. That tzaddik was able to leave the scene and get away unharmed. But Yishmael and Esav, they were not so lucky. They had to pay for their sins. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is the very simple interpretation of us Rabbeinu Nosson refers to the Dor HaMabul and the Dor and Enoch. Now this is a very strange medrash because the pasuk says the sin here are sin with lips. When we focus on the Mabul, Rashi tells us the reason why they would destroy was because of Gezel. Amol haaretz chomos mipnehem. And Rashi says the Gzar Din, even though ki hishches kol basar darko yal haaretz, the aver of the Dor HaMabul was arayos. Each creature was nistavik with a different min, arayos. And but the reason the Gemara Din was Gezel. Now I'm not making this up. The Medrash here says something very strange. Elu dor anshe hamabul shloichotu ela b'fihem. The primary sin was the way they spoke, and it goes on to say Shneamar quotes a pasuk in Iyov, Vayomru lokel. The people said to the Ribbono Shel Olam Hashem, we don't want you. Get lost. Get out of our lives. Lokel sur mimenu. Who is God that we should serve you, Hashem? So it's not really a contradiction. They distanced Hashem so that they can be nichshol in arayos and they can steal. So that's how it all started. All started with speech, with a statement, we don't need you, Hashem. We demand from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remove yourself from among us. That's how it all started. Who escaped from this terrible sin? Noach. Noach ish tzaddik tamim hoya b'dor Yosef. So the Medrash Avos Rabbeinu Nosson takes the entire period of the Dor HaMabul and plugs it into this pasuk. B'pesha sifosayim moikei shua. The evil people, the raw, the evil people of the Dor HaMabul, they stumbled, they fell in their words with the pesha sifosayim, the sin of their lips, by demanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remove himself from among them. But there was one person that was a wise man, and that was Noach. Vayetze mitzara tzaddik. The tzaddik Noach, he survived. He removed himself from their council, from their party, in order not to be part to survive this terrible event. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Mipri pfi ish yispatoiv ugmul yidei adam yoshivlo. This pasuk is not broken up into two parts. It's really just one part. It's telling us a kal v'chomer, at least according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos Tov. It's a kal v'chomer. It's also something very, very different than what we're used to hearing. We are brought up with the notion that there's nothing greater than Torah, and it's true. Torah is everything, and ma'asim tovim. That's secondary. I think that's Talmud Torah keneged kulam. But according to the Mitzvah says when a person learns Torah, we all know that he's going to be rewarded. And if he's going to be rewarded, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, he will be rewarded in this world and in the next world for studying Torah. Al achas kama v'kama, will he be rewarded in this world and the next world for ma'asim tovim. Not that Ma'asim Tovim are greater than Talmud Torah, but Ma'asim Tovim is something that is tangible. If you give tzedakah, you've done something. I learned the Daf Gemara. I've learned it's in the mind. It's in my path. It's something which is not tangible. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards a person in this world and in the next world for things which are not tangible, Allah has kama v'kama, how much Hashem will reward a person for his good deeds. That's what the Mitzvah says. Look what it says over here. Mipri propasuk yudalit. Ratzolaymar im ma'amore pi. If the words of a mouth, ish, bedivrei Torah, yispa ba'avuram tov, in reward, he will be satiated with good. In reward for learning Torah, for davening, for what comes out of his mouth, kol shekein, How much more so who shegmul maseh yadav yashiv lo hamakom? Hashem will reward a person or will pay him in this world and the next world, im tov im ra. For a good deed, he will be rewarded. For a bad deed, he will be punished. I guess that means because when you do a maisa, it's something which is tangible. It's tangible. How much more so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have an obligation to reward and punish a person for what he has accomplished in this world?
Rashi, choice between learning or doing chesed.
So we discussed that. The Gemara says that if the chesed can be done by someone else, then you should learn. If the chesed cannot be done by anyone else but you, then you have to do it.
Else that could do chesed.
Not necessarily. No, it's not true. I respectfully disagree. Most of the time, in fact, no one else can do the chesed. What you can do, or the way you can do it, how you can do it, cannot be done by anyone else. That's more often the case than not. That the chesed, when it comes to chesed, every, there are many types of chesedim, and a person knows how to do it, has the resources to do the chesed. You have to do it. Most people can always do the chesed. Luckily, Rashi says.
Nobody can package me and I'm
okay, look at Pasuk Gidal. Mipriyish mischar piem shel oiskei Torah. Oichlim toy ba'olam hazev yakeren kayemes lohem lo'olam haba. So the pri tzadik means it means the fruits of the mouth of man, the words of Torah. The oiskei Torah, people that are oisek, that are busy themselves with Torah. Yispa toiv, certainly a person will be rewarded. The gmuldi, the adam yashiv lo, the maisim tov. I don't think Rashi's coming to disagree. Rashi just means over here that Rashi means that in the schus of Torah and maisim tov, a person will be rewarded in this world and in the next world. Okay, we will stop over here.